proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. We have been looking at Jesus Christ's connection with the Jewish feasts. Today we focus on the Feast of First Fruits. The Jewish religious holidays observed by Jesus Christ and his Jewish countrymen included the weekly Sabbath day, in addition to a series of annual festivals. In the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, God describes such days as, quote, holy convocations, unquote. Jesus Christ, who after all was a Jew, Jesus Christ lived and interacted with people familiar with the Jewish religious system. To what extent did these festivals impact the ministry of Jesus Christ, in particular the Feast of First Fruits? Looking at the Mosaic Law, the Feast of First Fruits was scheduled to occur on the first Sunday following the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Jewish people would present their annual crops from their spring harvest to God. God commanded them to observe that day like any other feast, namely as a holy convocation. Whenever any Jew brought the first fruits of his harvest unto God, he had to make a certain declaration contained in Deuteronomy chapter 26. That statement involved recognition of his humble beginnings from, quote, Assyrian ready to perish, unquote. The Jew who made the offering of his first fruits then had to acknowledge his ancestors' servitude in Egypt and recognize how God delivered the Jewish people from that bondage. Finally, a Jew making the offering of first fruits needed to express his gratitude to God for giving him a bountiful harvest. The Feast of First Fruits thus functioned as an offering which thanked God for providing for the Israelites. The associated imagery, a grain of wheat falling into the ground, dying, and producing fruit, pointed to the future resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord himself made this connection with the wheat in the 12th chapter of John. He addressed a group of Greeks who had longed to see him and told them, quote, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, unquote. Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first Sunday after the Passover began. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul linked the Savior's resurrection with the Feast of First Fruits. He noted that, quote, now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept, unquote. The apostle amplified his statement in that same chapter, adding that, quote, in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming, unquote. Put another way, the Savior's resurrection served as a guarantee that those who believed in him would also rise from the dead, thereby conquering the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul went on to exult that, quote, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, unquote. For the Christian, therefore, death need hold no terrors. Just as his Savior died and rose again, conquering death, a believer will also experience new life after physical death. The Feast of First Fruits involves the recognition that every Christian is a first fruit unto God, and deserves to give God the first fruits of his labors. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.